This episode is brought to you by CLA.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, June 1st. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Several U.S. states are considering a new investment program that would aim to fight poverty by creating trust accounts for babies.
When a child is 18 years old, they could take this money and use it towards something like education, a business, or a home after a required financial literacy course.
Coming up, we'll talk to WSJ reporter Brenda Leon about how these baby bonds would work after the break.
When it comes to planning for the future, taxes and wealth advisory tend to be viewed as two separate conversations, but some things are just better together. That's why at Clifton Larson Allen, they call it TWELFT. Here's Clayton Bland, Chief Wealth Advisory Officer at CLA.
More often than not, all of the decision-making around the tax relationship are predicated on things that have happened in the past. An investment advisory relationship would be something that's looking at, hey, what are your future goals? How can we allocate capital to help you achieve those goals? So when we talk about 12, tax and wealth together, that's really what we provide at CLA with that combination of both professionals. It provides for the necessary information to make the decision that will have the best impact on you, both from a goal standpoint of my portfolio and also from a tax consequence standpoint of when I file my tax return.
Visit CLAconnect.com for more insights from Clifton Larson Allen. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Investment advisory services are offered through Clifton Larson Allen Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
A plan to invest thousands of dollars in a trust account for babies as a way to fight poverty is being considered by several states. Wall Street Journal reporter Brenda Leon joins us to discuss how it would work.
So, JR, this investment program began to gain support when two economists first envisioned this idea that a policy recommendation could address the racial wealth gap, the widening racial wealth gap in our country. The idea then began to gain traction when Hillary Clinton also floated the idea of a federal program during her 2008 presidential bid.
So what's the purpose of this program of creating trust funds for babies?
So the purpose is to address that widening wealth gap so that families who are already in the lower income brackets could access capital for their children's future. There are demographics who might have less access to capital, less access to resources. And as a result of that, then these families have a harder time to access things like education, a home, or perhaps even start a business.
All right. So how would this work? How would money be paid to babies?
So the money wouldn't be paid out directly to babies, but rather an account would be created by the government and funded accordingly. And throughout the child's life, this account would be invested and it's expected to grow.
Who would qualify to receive the money?
So children from low-income families would qualify to receive these accounts. However, some proposals have tied these conditions for families to qualify if, for example, they receive public benefits like Medicaid.
Now, these so-called baby bonds have been discussed in at least eight states, and lawmakers in Washington, D.C., Connecticut, and California have approved the programs, though they're not actually in effect yet. What's holding them up?
Funding, JR. Funding is holding them up. While there's been several bills introduced by Democratic leaders around the country, a lot of the times the program is stalled because funding is the most important ingredient to make a program like this possible, but also to continue the program throughout the future.
Now, in your reporting, you highlight the baby investment program in Connecticut. How would it work there?
In Connecticut, if the proposed program, which is still slated for a legislative approval, the program would fund accounts for children born under Medicaid specifically with an initial deposit of $3,200. Now, these $3,200 are expected to grow as a nest egg. And a first-time family would also qualify for eligibility under the state's public health insurance program. And that eligibility is capped at a family with an income of $65,000, roughly. The overall numbers are what's stalling these programs. So, for example, in Connecticut, the program would cost $600 million, and it would fund accounts for children born in the next 12 years. However, these accounts would have one initial deposit of $3,200, and the fund would be invested by the state.
So $3,200 for the first 12 years of a child's life, that comes out to almost $40,000. Are there rules surrounding how and when that money can be accessed?
So when a child is 18 years old, they could take this money and use it towards education, a business, or a home after a required financial literacy course. Now, these were the parameters set by lawmakers when they proposed this initial program.
So there's some purpose written into the rules here.
Absolutely. So the importance of financial literacy throughout a family's life is a component that's added on to the program. And the idea is also that in order for families to manage wealth, they need to have the wealth and the necessary tools to continue to build their nest egg. What lawmakers also have in mind is incentivizing the local economy. So families would be required to stay in Connecticut in order for them to access the fund in the future. But also, it could help them leverage the economy by families buying homes and families opening businesses in Connecticut and even accessing an education, which has in turn been a factor of building generational wealth.
Now, these investment or trust accounts have gone into effect in several other countries. How do they work there?
Well, they actually work in several different ways. In Singapore, they offer per-child grants aimed at increasing fertility rates. In Canada, low-income children are eligible for an education investment fund. In Israel, children receive savings accounts regardless of income. And in the UK, child trust accounts were funded for about a decade starting in 2002, and then they switched to tax-free savings accounts.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Brenda Leone. And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by CLA.